Colossians chapter 3, the sermon that I'm going to preach to you tonight, never thought that I would preach it more than one time. I prepared it years ago for a national conference, and I mean many years ago, and after I preached it, I had so many people. I would travel the country, and people would request that I preach it, and so it has kind of lingered, and I think it's the Lord that's caused it to linger, not because it's a good sermon. He's going to have me preach it until I can figure out how to do it the right way. And so, but Colossians chapter 3, verse number 23, do me a favor, stand with me if you will. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Colossians 3, verse number 23, the Bible says this: whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. For knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The verse that I'm most interested in is verse 23. That's what will launch us into the sermon tonight. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And let's pray. God, help us tonight. Oh, everybody's had a busy day running here and there. And then there's the journey to church. And, oh, God, our lives, they become very, very complicated. God, help us to put the thoughts of what happened earlier today out of our minds. Then our concerns, what will happen later tonight and tomorrow, maybe we ignore it. But may we focus, may we concentrate, may we zero in on the sermon. God, make it as if maybe it's just me and every individual here. Might we leave here tonight feeling like you spoke to our hearts? Holy Spirit of God, it would do us no good to meet without you. And so, your presence is primary. And we turn this service over to you. Strengthen my voice, strengthen my mind. God, give me the attention of the people as I give you my attention. Might we leave here tonight challenged. Challenged. And may we hear a truth that we would never forget, so that truth might help carry us through the rest of our lives, please. Minimize the interruptions. Maximize the attention of the people. And most of all, might you be glorified as a result of the sermon tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I love that verse in Colossians 3:23 because it tells us whatever we do, we're to do it heartily. And we're to do it as to the Lord and not unto men. I think we've lost something in our country, and that is putting your heart into what you do. Just so many people are lax, and there's a certain amount of laziness, and people have lost drive, and people have lost intensity. People have lost a tenacity in life. I love that generation of people that played to win and fought to win and ran hard and did the hard thing. And I just love that. I'm going to tell you a little story. The minute I tell it, a few of you will say, I've heard this story before. But I want to challenge you with something this evening. The truth that I'm going to preach tonight, if you've heard it 100 times or you've heard it once, it's always healthy to hear it. Amen. My aunt, I called her Annie, and her last name was Mendenhall. She was she might have been 4 foot tall, she might have been 4 foot wide. Annie was like a cannonball, and Annie loved me dearly. Annie had a bulldog. Her bulldog's name was Buttons. And so there's Buttons the bulldog, and Buttons was full of energy. Buttons was, I am just telling you, Buttons was like a Super Bowl bouncing all over the place. Buttons had a ball. I could throw a ball for Buttons, and Buttons would take out after that ball. But Buttons never ran from where we were to the ball in a straight line. Buttons ran in circles. You ever seen a dog do that? I mean, that you'd throw that ball out there about 25 yards, and Buttons would run like this. She had run in circles, and somehow Buttons had radar, because Buttons could zoom in, swoop down while doing one of those circular motions, grab that ball up, and run right back to me. And I thought it was just great. Buttons was something. Buttons had a shoe. That shoe looked a lot like this shoe right here. And Buttons had a shoe. It was a tennis shoe. Now, the shoe and the ball were different. The ball, that was a toy that Buttons would play with people. It was a people toy. Buttons allowed people to play with Buttons' ball. Now, the shoe, that was Buttons' shoe. The shoe was a dog toy. The ball was a people toy. See, we all think we're playing with the dog. Actually, the dog thinks it's playing with us. And so, but that shoe, that belonged, that was Buttons' shoe. Now, there was only one shoe. Somebody asked me one time, said, where was the other shoe? I don't know. I really think Buttons ate the other shoe. But where did Buttons get the shoe? I think Buttons also ate the person that was in the shoe. And I think Buttons kept one shoe as a trophy. You know, I like to hunt, and every once in a while you get something worth mounting. Well, Buttons, that shoe was Buttons' proof that Buttons caught the fish or caught the person or shot the deer, but Buttons had a shoe. And Buttons, once Buttons would grab a hold of the shoe, Buttons would not let go of the shoe. I'm talking about this bulldog, and it, every bit looked like a bulldog, walked like a bulldog. I mean, Buttons was one tough dog. Once Buttons would grab a hold of his shoe, now see that ball? I could throw the ball. Buttons would, you know, do his little whirly-dig deal and go out there, grab that thing, bring the ball back to me, and let me have it. But when Buttons grabbed a hold of his shoe, Buttons wasn't going to let anybody have that. That was his shoe. It was very personal to him. I mean, that was Buttons' shoe, and it meant a lot to Buttons, and Buttons protected that shoe. I could go over, Buttons would clamp and then big old jowls down on that shoe. I could go over to Buttons, and I would grab a hold of the shoe. Buttons wouldn't let go of the shoe. Buttons wasn't going to let go of the shoe. I'd pull a little bit, so Buttons would pull back a little bit. I'd go, oh, and Buttons would go, oh. I mean, Buttons wasn't going to let go of the shoe. I could grab that shoe, and I could pull Buttons around. Just like a bulldozer, that dog's front paws, and he's digging in, trying to keep me from pulling. I could pull him in the grass, and there'd be scrape marks where he's trying to hang on and pull against me in that shoe. He would dig in. Sometimes Buttons would go to take a breath. But Buttons knew, if I had a hold of the shoe, Buttons had the other end in his mouth, and he needed to take a breath. He would wait till I'd ease up a little bit. He'd suck some air in real quick and clamp his teeth back down on that thing as much as he could. He knew if he opened his mouth, I could yank the shoe, and I could take off running. So he would, and then there were times when he needed to take a breath, and he wasn't about to loosen his clamp. So, you know, he's got the, have you ever seen a bulldog that got these little ports? He's got a lot of flabby stuff around his lips, and Buttons would start breathing through those ports. And I don't know how to describe it to you, but he'd be breathing, and maybe I could get somebody to come up and do it for me, but I don't know how he did it, but he could clamp with the front of his teeth and have these little ports on the side, and he'd be breathing through them, and they'd flip up, and he'd get air, and they'd flip down, they'd flip up, and he'd get air. But one thing I'll tell you, he was not going to let go of the shoe. He breathed out of those jowls, and he would be huffing and puffing. There were times Buttons would, you know, I'd be yanking on the shoe, and we'd be playing tug of war, and he'd be all dug in, but he wasn't going to let go of the shoe. And I know what he was thinking. That's my shoe. You can't have that shoe. It's my shoe. Let go of my shoe. Now, go eat a person and get your own shoe. But this is my shoe. I could pull him around. I'd pull him out over the cement. There'd be scrape marks where his claws were just pulling back on that shoe. I could pull him into the street. I could pull him off through the gravel. Boy, did he make faces when I did that. But I could pull him around. I could actually, if Buttons would have a hold of that shoe, I could grab a hold of it, and I could get Buttons airborne. I'd just start doing this. Never do that with your kids or grandkids and take them around, play airplane. I played airplane with buttons more than one time. Buttons would grab that shoe, we'd get started, and we'd start low, and we'd get high. And boy, you got all four legs just a-dangling. These what ears he had were flapping. And old Buttons, he wasn't going to let go of that shoe. And Bulldog Slobber. Boy, old Buttons would be up there flying. And then that slobber would start swinging all over the place. It's like having your own sprinkler system. I mean, and but it's, you know, Bulldog Slobber's, it's not thin like water. It's slimy. So you got strings of it, you know, going around. And I could swing him around like this. I remember one time, I decided I'd let him go, see what happened. So we're up there, and I let the shoe go. And there you watch Buttons in the shoe that went over and bang, hit the ground. That Buttons sucked her up and said, and I don't want his brain. He said, nah, 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 you didn't get my shoe. That's how it went. He just hung in there. He wouldn't let go. I would do the day that I did that and I let him go, I watched him. He backed into a corner. I think I scared him a little bit, but he backed in a corner. He still had a shoe in the mouth, and he just sat there. And I thought, you know, I could sneak up on him later. So I went in Annie's house. I looked out the window. Buttons, I think Buttons had radar. I looked out the window, and Buttons would look over at me, pull that shoe in tight. And so I tried to sneak up on him. There, he wasn't going to give up his shoe. Now, Buttons passed away a long time ago. I didn't get to go to the funeral, but I don't doubt that his shoe got buried in his mouth when he went, because Buttons really believed in hanging on to that shoe. You know, I love Buttons' attitude. His attitude about that shoe was, grab hold and don't let loose. You can't take it from me. Now, to Buttons, that shoe was a cherished thing. It was important to him. You know something, folks? We need some Christians that will sink their teeth into their Christian life and not let go. Amen. We need some Christians that are as committed to their Christianity as Buttons was committed to hanging on to that shoe. We live in a generation of weak-kneed, soft quitters. So easy for people just to give up. Now, could I recommend something to you? Could I recommend that you get some bulldog about you? Could I recommend, I call the sermon Bulldog Christianity. You say, I don't want to be a bulldog. You, if you're a lady, you could be a bulldogette. Okay? Be a bulldogette. Hey, you need to decide that you're not going to give up. You need to decide you're going to keep on going for God. You need to sink your teeth into that shoe in life and not let go. There are way too many Christians that give up way too easily. Sink your teeth into some things for God. Don't give up. Hey, I think most people want to live right. Can I tell you something? If you're here and you say, I sincerely want to live right, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. If you're going to live right, you're going to have to get tough with yourself.
Yes, sir.
Look, nobody's going to defeat you but you. You're your own biggest enemy. If you want to make it, you can make it. If you want to take it, you can take it. You can, if you want, you can blame mom, you can blame dad, you can blame your brother, you can blame your sister, you can blame all sorts of things. But you got to look at yourself in the mirror. If you want to be a good Christian, you can be a good Christian. You can do the right thing. You say, what's it going to take? You're going to have to get a little Buttons in you, sink your teeth into what you ought to do and what you ought to be, and don't let go. Become a bulldog with yourself. Become a bulldog for your own good. Now, let me tell you some areas where I think you need to become a bulldog. Tonight, there's some of you, like a bulldog, you need to sink your teeth into overcoming your own personal character flaws. Romans 8:37 tells us, as Christians, that we are more than conquerors. But we're to be more than conquerors. And I think we need to sink our teeth into overcoming our personal character flaws. You know something? Some of you have struggled long enough with the same old thing. Aren't you getting tired of failing at it? Isn't it time for you to stop making excuses? Is it not time for you to look your weakness in the eyeball and say, that's it. With God's help, I will overcome you. You think about it. Now think about it. What's your weakness? It's the same weakness you had a year ago. It's the same weakness you had 2 years ago. Don't you think it's time for you to sink your teeth into changing your life and doing something about your personal character flaw and your weakness? It's time for some of you to learn to finish what you start. Your life is a life full of unfinished tasks. You sink your teeth into that flaw and you say, I will, by God's grace, I'll change it. Oh, Buttons, he grabbed a hold of that shoe, he wasn't going to let go. You weren't going to trick it out of him. He was going to succeed at what he had started. You say, what was it? Hanging on to his shoe. That's what it was. Look, some of you, you're late for everything. It's about time for you to change that. Believe it or not, whether you like it, that's an issue. You're not supposed to be late. Hey, we need to learn to keep our word. What's this business of giving our word, then not keeping it? What is that? That's a character issue. Some of you need to learn how to live by a schedule. That's a character issue. Some of you got to learn to control your appetites of life. Hey, and appetites not always having to do with chocolate cake and ice cream. There are a lot of appetites in life. And some of you need to get them under control. Some of you can't control your mouth. It's always running off at the mouth, saying things you should not say, things that are useless. You know, it's time to get that under control. There is a way to control what you say. Amen. What do? You like buttons. You look at that thing and you say, that's my weakness. I am going to clamp on to a solution and I won't let go until I see some victory in my life with my character flaws. Folks, look, if you're not doing your best at it, you need to do your best at it. And there is no character flaw that God can't help you to overcome if you'll do what you need to do. He said, well, I've tried before. Let me explain. Try again. He said, well, I've tried many times. Try harder. Amen. Now, we live in such a mamby, pamby, rub your belly, pat your head, make you feel good about yourself generation. Everybody's afraid to get up and say, there are some flat-out right and wrongs, and sometimes we just need to suck it up and make ourselves do right even when it's hard. Buttons had something. I have to tell you, I've had a lot of people that have influenced my life through the years. I've been around some powerful preachers and some powerful Christians, but I'm not real sure, Brother Nash. I learned a better lesson from anybody than what I learned from Buttons and the stupid stew. Yes, I watched that dog, and that dog was committed. He wanted something, and he was going to accomplish it. I think we need to overcome. You know, I don't know all of you. I know some of you. But you know, there's somebody in this room. You were a bulldog for the devil when you were out in the world. You partied with the best of them. When people were getting wild and crazy and you were in the world and lost, that was you. I'll tell you something. I believe that if you used to party like that for the devil, you ought to get you some bulldog, and you ought to determine to serve God with that kind of tenacity, that kind of commitment. How dare you or I serve the devil and go with the best of them, then turn around and give God only part of what we have, part of our energy. If you could party with the best of them out there in the world, then you ought to run with the big dogs for God and do something great with your life. Don't you be more committed to what you did in the past for the devil than what you'll be committed now for what you do for God? Yes. I don't want to shortchange God.
Amen.
You see, like a bulldog, sink your teeth into overcoming your character flaws. But not only that, like a bulldog, sink your teeth into getting into the right crowd and staying in the right crowd. Amen. Nothing will destroy you quicker than your associations, both yours and mine. Be careful who you spend time with. I think you ought to be kind to everybody. I think you ought to be friendly to everybody. But I don't think you ought to be best friends with everybody. Not at all. Like a bulldog, sink your teeth into this thing of getting with the right crowd and then stay with the right crowd. Did you know something? If you run with the pig, you're going to end up smelling like one. You ought to know that sheep don't play with wolves. Stand up, some of you. You need to stand up to some friends. Let it be known you're a Christian. Let it be known you're not going to listen to that filthy joke. Let it be known you're not going to participate in that filthy activity. Hey, even to this point, even if you got to walk alone.
Amen.
We're all just scared to death to be alone. I got to be honest. I don't really want to be alone. I don't want to be. But look, if I've got to walk alone to keep my life where it needs to be so God is pleased, then I will have to separate from all the possibilities of friendships in life. I need to keep myself right with God.
Amen.
And I'm better off alone and right with God than to be surrounded by a bunch of funky friends that keep me from doing what I ought to for God. Amen. Sink your teeth into your separation. And that get staying away from that wrong crowd. Look, like a dog avoids fleas, some of you need to avoid some of your associations. They're not good for you. So, or Buttons, I learned a lot from Buttons. Buttons, once he grabbed a hold of that shoe, he didn't want to let go. But not only that, like a bulldog, sink your teeth into building your business or succeeding at work. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18, Nehemiah said, "Let us rise up and build." I've got to tell you something. I've for a long, long time felt this way. I think it's scriptural. You know, I happen to believe the hardest working people at the office building where you go to work, the hardest working people at the factory where you work, the hardest working people in the business where you're employed ought to be the born again, sold out, dedicated Baptist people.
Amen.
It ought not be that there are lost people that can work harder than you. If you're a business owner, build your business.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Look, I think Christians are supposed to succeed. I think they are supposed to succeed. Let's see, 2 weeks ago at my church, part of my spring program, I had a day called Workmate and Boss Day. And I told everybody, I want you to invite the other people from your company to come to church that day, and I want you to invite your bosses to come to church that day. We had a sellout crowd. I had all sorts of employees and bosses. You know something? Man, I read the riot act. I tore into this thing. I worked and hard, showing up on time. And you should have seen all the bosses. They were smiling from ear to ear. I told them, I said, "You employees that sit around and you gripe and you complain, and all you do is complain about what you don't have and what you want." I told them, I said, "Look, if you're such hot stuff, why don't you go out and get you about $300,000 or $400,000 and buy a building, and then buy some trucks, and buy the equipment, and then buy the supplies, and then we're all going to come work for you, and you're going to pay us $30 an hour, and get us the best dental insurance, the best optical insurance, and you're going to give us days off, and we're going to get a turkey, about 100-pound turkey, every Thanksgiving, and you're going to take good care of us." And you say, "But how in the world could I do that?" Well, it might be reasonable for you to think about the fact it's not as easy to start a business, run a business, and take care of everybody the way you think they ought to be taken care of. But if you've got it together, buddy, go ahead and cut you a chunk of property off and show us how it's done. If not, maybe you ought to show up for work, keep your mouth shut, work hard, and help your boss succeed.
Amen.
Just so you all know, your boss has it more on the ball than you in a given area, or he wouldn't be your boss.
Amen.
People hate it when I say things like that. But if you got it, show it to us.
Amen.
But I believe you're to succeed at work.
Yes.
People say, "Well, it's hard to build a business in this day and age." We wouldn't want you to do anything hard, would we? You want to build a business, you can build a business.
Yes.
You want to succeed at work, you can succeed at work. We need to sink our teeth into our employment and sink our teeth into building what God's given us to build. I got to tell you something. I believe, Brother Nash, God has called me to do what I do. I think that God wants me to succeed at pastoring people and helping people. I think that's what God wants me to do. But I got to tell you something. Wherever you work, I believe that must be the will of God for you there. Well, God surely doesn't want you to be a funky that never gets anything done, never produces anything, never makes anything happen. How could that be possible? The Bible's very clear. We're to work hard.
Yes.
Get up early. Stay up late. Work hard. When's the last time you went to work and sweat?
Amen.
Or is that unreasonable? Did you know the young people of our day do not know what blisters are? They don't know what calluses are. They get callus or blisters on their hands. They're ready to go get medical treatment.
Yeah.
It's got to be leprosy or something bad. Then if a couple of them get together and both get calluses, they think it's contagious. It's spreading. Old Buttons, grab a hold of that shoe and wouldn't go. We need, in our work, we need to work hard. Sink your teeth into it. When it comes to our character flaws, some of you, you would have already overcome your weaknesses. If you would have sunk your teeth into it and said, by God's grace, I will not quit until I conquer that in my life. But we give up so easy. We give up way too easy. Get in the right crowd. Sink your teeth into the thought of being separated unto righteous people and stick with it. But only that. I think we need to learn to sink our teeth into the ministries that God's given us. In Acts chapter 19, verse number 20, the Bible says, so mightily grew the Word of God. What that meant was the influence of the Word of God was growing. Can I tell you why? Because somebody wanted to pay the price to help get the word out. Now, folks, if you have a ministry in this church, did you know the church is not, it's not a museum. Church is like a factory. The church is like a hospital. We're here to get something done. And if you have a ministry, Brother Nash, I've got this philosophy. You know, did you know when I recruit somebody to be a Sunday school teacher, do you know what I call them? I call them Sunday school builders.
Amen.
Not just teachers. I don't recruit them to walk in, teach a little bit, sit down, and think they're done. I teach them to reach people and to get people in their Sunday school class and to build that thing. Amen. Now, look, folks, you ought to want to succeed at your ministry. Not just show up.
Amen.
We don't need people to just show up. Now, you need to show up, but there's more to it than that.
Amen.
We need to sink our teeth into making our ministry the best that we can.
Amen.
Brother Nash, I think you have a van and maybe intentions with van route and things like that. Let me tell you all something. That's what we call the bus ministry. Hey, you're a bus captain, you're a van captain, or you ever are. Let me tell you something. We need some people in the bus ministry that will sink their teeth into that bus route and make something happen.
Amen.
If you're a Sunday school teacher, why don't you sink your teeth into that Sunday school class and make something happen? there's something I do to myself. I require myself as a Sunday school teacher to be productive. This is what I do. Every time I turn around, I take as many members out of my class as I can, and I give them Sunday school classes to go build. You ought to watch. My church, you know, it's a little intimidating, I got to tell you, Brother Nash, when I have 50 or 60 people in my adult Sunday school class, and then I'll tell the church I'm going to start about 6 or 7 new Sunday school classes, and every one of those Sunday school teachers is going to get an assistant teacher, so suddenly I pull, 15, 16, 20 people out of my class, and my class in 1 week goes from 60 down to 40. I was going backwards. You know what that makes me do? I got to go reach people to fill my Sunday school class back up. I keep the pressure on myself that way. I've done it for years. I've done it for years and years and years. When I was pastoring my church in West Virginia, I started and I had 11 Sunday school classes. When I left, I had 87 Sunday school classes. You said, where'd all the teachers come from? They sat in my Sunday school class and watch how I did it. And I'd start a class and I'd send 2 people out of the class to go start that class. And my class would go down in attendance. And then I'd have to go get 2 to replace them. You know something? It's not all about how many were in my class and me. It's about how many people can teach and preach the Word of God and how many people can I influence? And I'm just telling you, folks, take your ministry, sink your teeth into that thing, and make it go. I've heard all the excuses as to why it can't be done. If you'd like to meet me at the table afterwards, I can give you more excuses as to why it can't be done than you could give me. I've heard them all, but I don't need to hear what won't work. Let me know what will work. Don't tell me that you can't. Tell me that you can. I know that it's hard. Now that it's
over with. It's hard. Suck it up and do what's hard.
Amen.
Buttons did. Don't let me scare you, folks. I get loud and aggressive, but look, the devil's pretty loud and aggressive too. Listen, like a bulldog, sink your teeth into your service for God. As a sinner, sink your teeth into what you do. Don't sit on the sideline in the kitty litter. Come out with the big dogs. Take your ministry and do something with it. Not only that, like a bulldog, some of you need to sink your teeth into clearing up your financial messes.
Amen.
Your financial messes. In Isaiah 40:29, it says, He giveth power to the faint. God said, I'll give you strength. You may think you're weak, but if you will turn to me, I can give the faint, the weak, strength. Boy, you know, folks, we need to make sure we're careful with our finances. It's one of those areas where you really, you about got to sink your teeth into it to make it work. Now, I don't believe that all debt is bad. I think when you can't pay your debt on time like you're supposed to, that's when it really becomes bad. But be careful, folks. There's some of you, you've got financial issues, and I don't think everybody needs to know about it. I don't need to know about it, but I will tell you this. If you'll sink your teeth into your financial situation, you can dig yourself out. It can be done. You say, well, exactly what am I going to do it? Well, it's when you want to pull into McDonald's, and then when you want to go to Walmart five times a week, you got to start telling yourself, I can't do that anymore. What happens? You sink your teeth into your financial problem, and you begin to solve it, maybe a little at a time, but don't let go.
Amen.
And our problem is, if we can't solve the problem quickly, we're not willing to pay the price. I just hate to tell you this, folks, but there are some problems that we create that are big enough, it takes weeks and months and sometimes years to solve them, but they can't be solved. Did you know there's no problem so big that God can't solve it? But you got to sink your teeth into it. You dig yourself out a little at a time. Not only that, I think like a bulldog, there's somebody in here you need to conquer the sin in your life. I was at this morning, when I got up, I was studying my Bible, and I came across that verse that tells us that we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors, the Bible says. In Matthew 15:57, it says we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, let's not try to fool each other. Everybody here tonight, including this person speaking, is a sinner. Whether you like it or whether you want to accept it or not, there's sin in your life and it needs to be conquered. I might not see yours, you may not see mine. Mine might not be like yours. Yours may not be like mine. And people say, well, that's deep, dark sin. Just so you know, that sin's deep and dark. It's all bad. Now, I realize there are more damaging sins that affect us more heavily than others, but I'm just going to tell you, sin is sin, and sin is wrong, and God wants us to sink our teeth into a desire to live righteously and get the sin out of our life. I don't know what your sin is, but I'm going to tell you, you could conquer it with God's help.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what it is. Boy, you know, I've watched people come to a church just like this, come three times a week, and secretly, they're drunks. They're drunks. They're drug addicts. People don't even know it. I don't know what your problem, I don't know what your issue is, but I will tell you this. If there is sin in your life, it is time for you to look that sin right square in the eye and say, look, you have controlled me long enough. I'm going to get God's help. I'm going to be like Buttons a bulldog. I'm going to clamp onto some scripture. I am going to conquer you. And if not, I will die trying to get you out of my life. Folks, I got to tell you, you will not change your life by living a passive Christianity. My life has changed when I became assertive, aggressive, and I learned how to bully me. There are times you've got to grab yourself and shake yourself. You need to say, I've had it with you. You are going to do what God tells you, and you're going to do it when it's hard, and you're going to do it right. And you may look back at you and say, well, who's going to make me? And you say, God and I are going to make you. Folks, you will never have victory until you decide you're going to do something about you. You can blame the preacher, you can blame your wife, you can blame your husband, you can blame your mom, you can blame your dad, you can blame society, but you've got a problem, and your problem is you. So what do? You sink your teeth into the desire to conquer the sin in your life, and then you pull together with God and make her happen, buddy. Amen. I'm almost done. You'll be glad. Some of you need to sink your teeth into this thing of being a soul winner. I know it's scary. I know it's challenging. But God is willing. Hey, the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. Do you know what that means? If God's not willing that any should perish, God's already on your side. You've got a soul winning partner. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. That's a pretty good thing. But it's hard, and I know that. It's challenging, and I know that. There's some of you, you tried to win souls in the past, and you feel like you failed. You feel like it didn't work out very well. Sink your teeth into the subject of soul winning and never let go of it.
Yes.
I've been good at it at times. I've been bad at it at times. I've been successful. I've been unsuccessful. I've been faithful. I've been unfaithful. But I'll tell you, I still believe in soul winning. We load up the car every Thursday night and go soul winning, and it is hard, and I'm tired. And there are times I'm going to go out and try to win someone to Jesus, but I don't care like I ought to. You ever knock on a door and think this? I hope they're not here. Been there. Sink your teeth into this thing of keeping people out of hell. Like a bulldog. Like a bulldog. Sink your teeth into living a separated life. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse number 12, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Folks, you just about have to make the decision that you're willing to be different. I got to tell you, my first time, I was a 16-year-old boy. I'd never been in church before. Well, I went to a Catholic church this one time. You say, why? Because there's this cute girl in the Catholic church, and I went there. And then when I found out the guy that she called her father, which was not her father, dressed like her mother, and it really had me confused by the end of the day. But I did go to the Catholic church one time. And then when I was 16, I went to an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church, and I thought, good night in the morning. It's Little House on the Prairie all over again. I had to make a decision. Then when I found out the way they acted and dressed and all of that was in the Bible, I said, huh. And then I ended up having to set my mind to it.
Yes.
I sunk my teeth into it.
Yes.
And so far, praise God, I've not let go.
Amen.
You know what? I'm still an old-fashioned, independent, separated, fundamental,
amen,
Baptist Christian. Still preach nothing but the King James Bible.
Amen.
Still believe in standards.
Amen.
And separation.
Yes.
And the local New Testament Baptist church.
Yes, sir.
Still believe in old time gospel music.
Amen.
Still not a rock and roller. Still not a countryer. Not a contemporary person.
Yes.
And I've had the devil really try to knock the shoe out of my mouth a million and one times.
Yes.
Praise God. Still got it in my mouth.
Amen.
And the reason why some of you are still in the right kind of church, you know what I'm saying. You've been through it. You say, I clamped on to that thing. I said, I'm not going to let go. There are times when you're weary. There are times when you're tired. There are times when there are easier things to do, but don't let the devil knock that shoe out of your mouth. I'm done. But let me tell you, like a bulldog, you might need to sink your teeth into a sermon like this. Hey, this is a little unnerving. I can get loud. I can get tense. You think someone told me to say what I said. Well, just so you know, your pastor doesn't tell me to say anything. He said, just preach whatever the Lord lays on your heart. You say, well, I feel like my wife told you to say, you know, what she said a little bit ago. Did my husband write you a note? Have my parents tattled on me? No. Well, yes, your Heavenly Father. Sometimes you take a sermon and you say, you know what, I'm never going to forget that sermon. I'm going to let that sermon motivate me through life. I got to tell you a story. 2 Samuel 23, there's a man by the name of Eleazar. Eleazar was one of David's mighty men. They were fighting a battle with the Philistines. Now, y'all remember Goliath was a Philistine. Goliath was probably 9 foot 9 inches tall. Eleazar was in a battle with the Philistines. He started fighting early in the morning. He had a sword. The Bible says he fought so long and so hard. At the end of the day, when the battle was over, he went to his tent. He tried to lay his sword down. And he had fought so long and so hard, the Bible uses these words in 2 Samuel 23:10. It says, his hand clave to the sword. So he's fought 12, 15, 18 hours. Now folks, you understand when there are swords that will whack your head off and you're in a battle with thousands of people, that's pretty intense. That's not a video game. And he fought for 15, 18 hours, I don't know how long. At the end of the battle, he went to his tent. He tried to lay his sword down, but his hand had held onto that sword so long and so hard, he had a Charlie horse in his hand. He could not get his sword out of his hand. What had happened? He grabbed a hold of that thing like a bulldog because his life was on the line. And he knew if anybody knocked his sword out of his hand, he could end up dying on the battlefield. His hand clave to the sword. That is bulldog Christianity. The devil's going to come and try to knock your sword out of your hand. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. And there are people under the sound of my voice, you understand, the devil doesn't play clean. He plays dirty. Sometimes you don't even get what's going on. The real battle, it's the devil. He's trying to stop us. You sink your teeth into what's right to do and don't let go. I call the sermon Bulldog Christianity. Boy, I've preached and been around Jack Hiles, Lester Roloff. I've preached and been around Tom Malone, Lee Robertson, Joe Boyd, Carl Hatch. I mean, I've been around and preached and been with those men and sat and talked with them. And Buttons. I can still see Buttons with that shoe in his mouth going, Brother Gus, there have been times in life I felt beat to a pulp. I felt backed into a corner, but you'd probably seen me in the corner going, thank God for Buttons. We got to get some bulldog about us. That'll save your marriage, save your kids, save your business, save your church. Some tenacity.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to linger at this. The question is this. Let me ask you something. Is there anybody in here, whether young or old, whoever you are, guest or just one of the regular members of this church, who would say, Brother Owens, there are some things in my life I really do. I need to spiritually and with God's help take charge. I've got to get some things under control. Like a bulldog, I got to sink my teeth into something and make a difference. Who here tonight would say, God has spoken to my heart. I needed to be reminded. I needed a charge just to get my teeth sunk deep into the right thing and make it happen in my life. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? Lots of hands. You may put those down in a second. And I mean in just a second. The pianists are going to begin to play. We're going to stand. Let me give you one piece of advice. I do not believe in this nasty teaching of a thing called humanity. You can't do anything you think you can do, but you can do anything God thinks you can. You can be whatever God wants you to be. You're not going to do what I told you tonight all on your own. You need to submit to God. I think there's somebody in here you want. You got charged up a little bit. You got challenged. What you ought to do is get on your knees and say, God, with your help, I want to be a bulldog. You won't do it on your own. You'll do it with God's help. You might need this altar for a second. Maybe I'll just come up here, get on your knees and say, okay, God, I tried and I failed in the past, but I'm going to try again. God, I'm going to succeed. And with your help, I'm going to have that same philosophy that Eleazar had. My hand will cleave to that which is righteous and holy. And I won't let the devil knock it out of my hands. The pianists are going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you'd like to come to this altar, why don't you come? There are young people. You have issues in your life. Look, hey, I want to tell you this. You young people that are going to school at this time, you've got some grades that are a little bit low, and you say, well, you know, there's only 5 weeks left in the semester. You can still pull it out. I've watched people down with only 5 weeks left. You can bring that grade up. You say, boy, I feel like I'm going down, and I've been beat on, and boy, things aren't going well. Hey, with God, you can have victory. Take that ministry and do something with it. My old shoe is a little dusty, so you've got dust on your paw. That's right.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. A commitment to the Lord. If it's God's work, it should be done right and the best that I can do it. The Lord deserves all of me.